Hey, everybody. Welcome. Good morning. Good morning. Feel free to continue getting your beverage of choice and tasty treat and then have a seat. Or if you want, you can stay in the back, walk around, pray, sing. That's great. We're totally fine with that. So welcome to H2O Church. Really glad you could be here this morning. If you're new, I'm one of the pastors here. My name is Aziz Nahas, and I'd love to meet you. Just hear your story a little bit, get to know you a bit. We hope that you will be able to find family here and home. If there's any way we can serve you or bless you, please let us know in person, of course, or in the Connect card, or how we could be praying for you. So this summer, we've been going through a series on what the Bible has to say about how to care for the children in our midst, in our lives. And this is the last week of that series called Handed Down. So before I continue, let me go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful time that we can just gather, reconnect with old friends and make new friends, where we can love and be loved, where we can extend grace and receive grace, and most of all, just become amazingly aware of and in awe of your grace, the grace you show us every day, the grace you showed us and shared with us, most of all on the cross and in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Help us just to be keenly aware of your grace and your love, that we might have a heart to extend that to everyone around us, especially to the children and the young people in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. O my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I am saying, for I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past, stories we have heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. For he issued his laws to Jacob. He gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born. And they, in turn, will teach their own children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. Then they will not be like their ancestors, stubborn, rebellious, and unfaithful, refusing to give their hearts to God. Last week, we saw how the goal of raising children is to help them to understand the gospel by living it out before them, sharing it with them, with our words, with our lives, with our stories of God's grace, so that they too will know Jesus, believe in him, and live like him. And we were reminded how the main responsibility for raising children lies with their parents. A mistake that we commonly make in parenting, and I have been guilty of, is to think that we can farm out all our parenting to schools, youth groups, TV shows, and electronic devices. As parents, we need to take seriously the incredible privilege and responsibility that we have in raising our kids. But there's another mistake that I've seen that I've made very often in my own parenting, and I think that others make as well, a danger that we drift into, even in our churches. We start sometimes thinking that raising children is only the responsibility of their parents. It's not our responsibility. We sometimes look at children who are not our children, and if we think of them being discipled at all, we think, well, that's the job of their parents. That's not my responsibility. And we just move on. But in Matthew 28:18, we read this. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I think sometimes we forget that Jesus commanded all of his followers to make disciples of all the nations, teaching them to observe all that he has commanded us. And doesn't that include all the children in our midst? Are children any less important to disciple than adults? No, of course not. But I sometimes don't think of them. They don't cross my mind. What if instead we were truly to take Jesus' words to heart for not just adults, but also for children? What if we in our church thought of all the children in our midst as our children? What if we believed that we have a shared responsibility to come alongside their parents to help, care, and support them and disciple them? In fact, this is actually built into the mission statement of our church. Listen to what it says in our mission statement. Our mission is to love God and our neighbors, reach the next generation, send missionaries out into the world. This is what we're all about. I don't know if you realize, this church was planted for this reason. We came to this university, this campus, to build into the next generation, to reach out to the next generation. We believe that college students, young people, are on God's heart, and that He wants to make disciples, not just of adults, not just of working people, older people, but of young people as well. And yes, it's the main responsibility of their parents, but parents need help, don't they? Amen? Any parents out there? Amen. I have come to realize that there are so many skills and experiences and knowledge that I don't have that I would love for my children to have, or that I have some of, but I want my kids to have more of. I've seen how including other adults in raising our children helps my kids to have that. I'm so thankful for the other adults that we have involved in our children's lives who have taught them how to play the guitar, piano, drums, how to swim, how to sing, how to work as a team, how to work and play well with others, how to work hard, how to love God and love people, and who have exposed them to other viewpoints and cultures and life experiences. I've also seen how, even though parents need to parent by being examples of the gospel, think about it, basic arithmetic here, they can only be two examples of the gospel, right? And as parents, sometimes we lose sight of that. Think of how powerful it is for our children to see many people, different kinds of people, all trusting in Jesus, loving God and loving people. It helps our kids to see that this isn't just something that their parents believe or do. You know, sometimes as kids grow up, they start associating all these things with their parents. And they start reaching an age where they're like, you know, I want to be different than my parents. I am different than my parents. But secretly they're afraid, I'm not different than my parents. I'm just like them. And so they start working really hard to distance themselves from their parents. And if they associate believing in Jesus just with their parents, they're missing out, right? They're missing out on an opportunity to see, no, Jesus isn't just for your parents. He's for you, too. And for that to happen, they need to see the reality of Jesus in the lives of other adults. And sometimes other adults are actually more like your kids than you are. I hate to admit that. I don't like to think that. But our kids sometimes can relate to other adults better than they can relate to us. And we need to give them that chance. It helps them to see how this could look like in their lives, in their futures. As they hear real life stories from other Christian adults in their lives. Did you notice what it said in Psalm 78? The main way that we're to help our children have faith in God is to tell them stories. Share with them the stories of how God has been real, how He rescued us out of Egypt, how Jesus rose from the dead, how He helped me in college, and how He helped me in my work world, and how He helped me in my marriage. And as they hear these stories from other adults, it helps them feel connected to a larger story and a larger community, beyond just your nuclear family, beyond even this church, to start having a vision for the whole church, the whole family of God throughout the world, throughout history, and that they could be a part of that, a part of God's great plan of salvation. Just as Psalm 78 teaches us, we need to hand down to the next generation the true stories of how God has worked in the world and in our lives so that our kids can believe in Jesus as well. Yes, they need to hear truth. That's got to be a part of it. But they also need to hear how that truth has been lived out, how God has been true in their lives, through their parents' lives, the lives of the adults in their lives. Listen again to these words of Psalm 78. As God calls his people to all take responsibility to disciple all the children in their midst. O my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I am saying, for I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past, stories we have heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. For he issued his laws to Jacob. He gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children, so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born. And they in turn will teach their own children. So each generation should set its hope in you, on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. Then they will not be like their ancestors, stubborn, rebellious, and unfaithful, refusing to give their hearts to God. Sometimes kids are acting up because they just don't see the reality of Jesus in their lives or in life. But we can help them see that, not just with telling them what is true, but sharing with them the stories of how that's true. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. And this is a wake-up call for all of us, isn't it? Not just the parents of those children. Maybe you've been feeling a bit disconnected from this series. You know, I know for my sons, they're like, how in the world does this series relate to us at all, right? If I ever have kids, it's going to be so far in the future. It's not even on my radar. And maybe you don't have kids of your own, and so you think, well, this series doesn't really apply to me. Or maybe you have some kids of your own, and you're just thinking about how this series applies to your situation and how you need help, and you're paying really closely attention, but to how this can help you with your kids. But what if we in our church thought of all the children in our midst as our children? What if we believed that we all have a shared responsibility to come alongside their parents to help care and support them and disciple them? What if we viewed making disciples of all the nations as starting right here with the children in our midst? Now, I must confess, as a parent, it's been hard for me, really hard at times, to welcome the involvement of other adults in their lives, other than my wife, of course. And even on the outside, I may be smiling, and on the inside, I'm cringing, or I'm afraid. This began the day my sons were born. This is a picture. I know it's kind of dark. I wish you could see it. Can you see? That's that little bundle in my arms. Tiny little bundle. That's my oldest son, Nathan. Now he's taller than me. But when he started out, he was so tiny. I was scared to pick him up. You know, the doctor said, would you like to hold your son? I'm like, is that allowed? Maybe, is there a sling or something that you can put under, a trampoline, or just in case, you know? I was terrified to hold my own son. Can you imagine what it was like when others said, can I hold him? No. Get your own baby. This is my baby and my wife's. I was terrified, and I know it seems silly, but I seriously thought every single person was going to drop him on his head. And I was so scared. And it's like, okay, Mom. Here, you know, my mom, who took care of me, it was hard for me to even let her pick him up and hold him. And looking back, there was more going on there. I saw this as the beginning of my fear that my kids would form an attachment to someone other than me or Heather. And I didn't want that. I was jealous of that. And this continued as they grew up. I was afraid to let other adults into their lives, for fear that they might hurt my kids in some way or just be a bad influence on them. Not necessarily that they're some kind of predator, but just they'd be a bad influence. You know, I had this thought, well, before I let any adult into their lives, I'm going to completely vet them. You know, what's your lifestyle like? Tell me how you spend your time. Tell me what you think of. Tell me what, you know, it's crazy. You can't do that. But that's what I wanted to do. I was jealous. I found myself jealous of my son's love. I didn't want to share it with anyone else. And I wanted them to like me more than any other adult. And I'm realizing this goes to my issues, my junk. I'm a people pleaser. I want people to like me. And boy, whenever you have kids, whatever your qualities are, for good or bad, they get amplified. And so I wanted my kids, above all people, to like me. And I wanted them to like me more than anyone else. And I begrudgingly allowed Heather into that as well. I figured, okay, I guess that's okay. And I was afraid they might start liking someone else more than me. And so I didn't want to share them with anyone. And I didn't want them to have special moments with other people besides me. I wanted all those special moments for my kids to be with me, with my kids and myself. When they would come back from doing something fun with grandpa and grandma, like going to a shooting range for the first time, I still remember that. Isn't that crazy? I still remember them coming back for, I think, Nathan's birthday. They took him to a shooting range. And on the outside, I'm all excited. Oh, wow, look at that. Oh, you got the bullseye. I'm so proud of you. That's great. Inside, I was secretly feeling sad and jealous. Why couldn't that have been with me? I want to be there for all their firsts. I didn't know they were going to go to a shooting range. If they were going to go to a shooting range, I would have gone with them. I want all their happy memories to include me. There was also this sense of shame, I realized, that kept me from allowing other adults to be involved in their lives. I sometimes didn't want to let anyone else help them because deep down, it showed that I had somehow failed them. After all, if I had done my job right as a dad, I should have taught them that skill, right? Or given them that experience. And I didn't want my inadequacies as a dad to be revealed. And so I would keep them from learning from others, from other adults. And I've learned that parenting, from the moment your child is born, is a process of learning to let our kids go into the hands of God. And it's so hard. You pick up that baby and you're just bonded to him. Sometimes it takes a little longer than others. I think for moms, it's instant. I mean, they've been carrying this baby for 9 months. They're already bonded. But it didn't take long for me. And I just wanted to protect them and have them be mine. But then there are all these things that are not so healthy. I want him to love me more than anyone else. I want him to spend all his time with me. I want him to only listen to me. And I had to remember that, yes, as a parent, I am ultimately responsible for him along with Heather. But I have to learn to let them go into the possibility of failure and danger and distance from me. Ultimately, they belong to God. And it's God who causes the growth. And that's what I should be concerned with. Loving them, helping them grow, helping them become all that God wants them to be. And God uses many people in our lives to bring that about, right? And he's going to use many people in their lives, not just me. And I've come to realize I need to humble myself and cooperate with God's work, even if that means my children will learn from someone else, or they will like someone else more than me, or they will have special memories with someone other than me. And yes, it is a risk to expose them to the influence of other adults, but without taking that risk, how will they learn and grow and flourish in the way they're meant to? In the end, think about it. This dawned on me eventually. You can try to keep them from all these other adults, but in the end, they're going to be exposed to the world anyway. What are you going to do? Lock them up in a tower for the rest of your lives? I know sometimes as parents, we kind of think of the idea. Isn't it better for them to be exposed to other people, other adults, other cultures, other viewpoints, while they're still living with you? And you can help them and protect them and guide them through those life experiences. And this is not just hard for the parents of those kids. It's also hard for the rest of us to care for children who are not our children, isn't it? We tend to not think about kids who are not our own. They literally fly under the radar. Have you ever just run into a little kid just walking around? I mean, they're so small, and they're running around, and you're talking to people like, oh, gosh, sorry. or the classic one, I've looked down and there's a small child holding onto my leg. And we both have this moment where he looks up and I look down and he realizes, you're not my dad. And I realize, you're not my son. Who are you? And, you know, they're so small. I know, it's obvious, but we just don't think about them. But if you're a parent, what do parents do? You ever try talking to a parent of a young child? They're like, hey, how's it going, Bob? Yeah, good. Good, yeah. So how's it going, Aziz? Yeah, fine. You know, what are they? They're not even looking at you. Do you not care about me? Is there no respect? What's going on here? No, because they're wondering, where is their child? And they're always, part of their brain is locked on to trying to find out their children and make sure they're okay. But if they're not our kids, we're not doing that. Those kids aren't even on our radar. We walk into a church service and our eyes quickly move around to our adult friends, or at least to the other adults in the room. And if we do notice kids sometimes, we tend to think, well, hopefully somebody's keeping an eye on them. They're the responsibility of their parents. I don't need to talk to them or look out for them or help them grow. I don't even need to know who they are. It's uncomfortable to think about, but we, you know, in Jesus' day, they were very out about this. They did not value children very much. But I think sometimes in our day, we slip into that. Now, there are some people who do naturally enjoy children, and so they naturally want to help children who are not their own. But other people don't want to be around children or teenagers. They find children to be irritating or boring. You know, W.C. Fields, you know, don't bother me, kid. Or, you know, the classic, you know, now I know why lions eat their young, you know. Or they don't understand them. Or they feel uncomfortable around them, not knowing what to say or do. Have you ever tried to have a conversation with a little kid? You're like, sometimes you don't even know where to start, what to do. And so what do? We avoid them. At various times, I can relate to both these types of people. Can you? Let's be honest. We don't like to admit it, but I think most of us can. But what would it look like in our church if we thought of all the children in our midst as our children, even those who aren't our children? Think back over your life. Were there people other than your parents who built into your life, especially spiritually? I'm guessing there were. Who were they? What did they do? Think about it, even right now. Who just pops into your mind? Do you realize you could do that for a young person too? You could be that person for someone else. You could be a part of helping them to take a small or even a big step of faith in their lives. Someday, someone might ask them the same question, and you know what? They will think of you. Wouldn't you want to be a part of that? I know I do. That's part of what led me to doing college ministry. I have three sons. Two of them take guitar and drum lessons from a Christian pastor named Gary. We didn't search him out because he was a Christian pastor. It just so happened to be that he's a Christian pastor, which I feel like the Lord has really blessed us with. And I remember many times, Gary loves to tell stories, and he loves to talk. And he's so gracious. He spends a lot of time with the boys beyond even their lesson times. And I remember many times over the years overhearing Gary talking with them in the other room, telling them stories of his adventures as a follower of Jesus and how great God is. And he was just very natural about it, full of life and excitement and joy. He'd tell them about the supernatural experiences he has had and continues to have, of God's grace and love and power in his life. And I remember sitting there thinking, thank God, I wasn't jealous. I wasn't envious. I wasn't afraid. I was filled with joy. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you for putting this man in their lives so they can hear from his lips the things I long to tell them that maybe they aren't even listening to anymore. But from him, they're willing to hear in a fresh, new way. I think sometimes our kids do get tired of hearing from us and our stories. But in these situations, they will often listen to another adult. How wonderful that my sons can see that Jesus is real and great, and he's present in more than just the lives of his mom and dad. He's in the life of their teacher, who they like and respect. And maybe they're getting a glimpse for how he could be in their lives as well. I remember Sherry, my oldest son's Sunday school teacher, when he was 10. I think at that time, she was young as well. And she wanted to invest her life in building into children, into young people. And as she did that, I saw my son change. He wanted to get baptized. He started memorizing verses. Now he's 22, and when I ask him who had the biggest spiritual influence on him other than his parents, I didn't just say who had the biggest because I was a little insecure. Other than your parents, of course, he spoke of her. He still remembers her so many years later. I remember several years ago, after Vivek got to know my son Andrew on a spring break trip, I remember him calling me up, asking me if it would be okay if he took Andrew out to lunch. I couldn't believe it. Vivek is so busy. He's looking out for hundreds of college students' lives. There were many people on that spring break trip. Why would he care about my son? Why would he want to take the time out of his busy schedule to care for my son? It meant so much to me to have a godly young man like Vivek look out for my son. And it meant so much to my son Andrew as well. Not just because of the free lunch, but because he liked Vivek and he respected him. I remember last year, Steve Klassing offered to host an amazing LAN party for my youngest son Josiah and his friends for Josiah's birthday. Hopefully, Steve, this isn't going to get you having lots of people making requests now. But it was amazing. He offered this, and he came over, set up all the laptops, set up everything, and he led them all in this amazing computer game experience where they were controlling a Star Trek-like spaceship. I was totally geeking out. It was awesome. And that was awesome for them. And now my son knows Steve and respects him and likes him and knows that Steve cares about him. In the last couple of years, Dan Ritchie and Grant Bender have also reached out to get to know Josiah, taking him and the Shaw kids out to see a movie, taking our kids and John and me to an escape room. That was awesome. And I see them sometimes on Sunday mornings, and they talk with Josiah, how he's doing, taking interest in his life and activities. They treat him as another person. And it may not seem like much, but I'm so glad that Josiah has gotten to know godly men like Steve and Dan and Grant and feel seen and valued by them. They've helped him to see that Jesus is real and what Jesus is like. I remember when I was a teenager and the young adults, some only a few years older than me, you know, sometimes people much older than us, they can seem almost out of touch, right? Or so distant from our lives. But someone just a few years down the road, we really can connect with. And I had people like that, college students who came and would speak at our retreats, who got to know me, even those older teenagers in high school. And then there were also older adults in our church who took the time to get to know me and they introduced me to the gospel. And it was through them that I came to know and believe in Jesus. My parents, God bless them, God used them in all kinds of ways. But if it hadn't been for those adults, I don't know if I ever would have heard the gospel. I don't know if I ever would have been saved. So what about us? How can we practically disciple the kids in our midst? First, I want to give you three opportunities this morning. First, I want to let you know that we have a critical need for H2O kids teachers. So we have this wonderful ministry that's occurring right now, next door in the annex, where we are not just trying to keep our little kids from, you know, killing themselves by jumping out windows or eating crayons, but we're also trying to help them to know about Jesus. And we've always needed helpers. during the Sunday service, but now we have a special need for teachers, those who will take on the awesome opportunity to teach a class just once a month. And ideally, we would have five or more teachers for each class, right, so that we can rotate through the teachers. Unfortunately, for the third through fifth grade class, we only have one teacher right now. Yeah. And for the preschoolers, we have a class there of over 20 kids each week, but only one teacher each week. That is not manageable. We would love to have two or three preschool classes, but that would require 5 to 10 more preschool teachers. Now, being a teacher is not hard, and it is very rewarding. The curriculum is already set up for you. It's not like something you have to create from scratch. All you have to do is prepare for about 30 minutes, and you'll be teaching just once a month. Or if your schedule is uncertain like mine, you can do what I did last week and sign up to be a substitute teacher. When a teacher cancels for some reason during their scheduled Sunday, the H2O Kids director, Natalie Malone, God bless her, calls the people on the substitute teacher list to see if anyone can fill in. So would you guys prayerfully consider being a teacher for our H2O Kids Sunday ministry? If you're interested in knowing more about that, please check the H2O Kids interest box on your Connect card, which hopefully you received on your way in, and write in the comments area, kids teacher, and make sure you put your contact info on there as well. Another practical way that you can disciple younger people in our church is through our new 112 discipleship groups that we're forming for the college student leaders in our campus congregation. Last week, we heard an example of what that looks like through the story of Erica and Emily. We're looking for people in our city congregation who will commit to facilitating a small 112 discipleship group with a few campus student leaders. You would be helping them. It's not like something where you're coming in and like teaching. 112, it's referring to Romans 112, where you're coming alongside as a brother or sister in Christ to help them open up and ask for input in their lives, pursue healing through being open about their lives and encouraging one another to follow the Lord. And you do that alongside them as an example of someone a little older, a little farther in life, transparently following Jesus with them. And this could have a powerful impact on the lives of these young men and women for their hope and vision for their futures. If you're interested in that, write on your Connect cards 112 leader along with your contact info. And a third way I want to mention to you this morning is just as practical, but it's a little more ambiguous, a little more organic. I know some people like things real concrete. This isn't so concrete, but I'm going to try and make it. So just talk to the kids. Just talk to them. Take an interest in them. Yeah, who knows where it might go? It might not go anywhere. It may only be that you know their name. And that's great. And when you see them, hey, William. Hey, Jake. You say hi. And they say hi. Sometimes they say a lot more than that. And it's awesome. Like, really? Wow. The neighbor girl, she's probably 3 or something. She talks and talks and talks to me. Most of it, I have no idea what she's saying. And I try. Could you say that slower? Mr. Aziz is harder hearing. Can you say that again? Sometimes her sisters say, don't worry, we don't even understand what she's saying. But she feels heard. She feels seen. She feels loved. Take an interest in the kids and in the teenagers in our church. Ask their name. Introduce yourself. Get to know them. Find out what they like and dislike. Sometimes it's pretty obvious. They're sucking on a lollipop, like, to save their life. Do you like lollipops? I know, it's a stupid question, but they're like, yeah, I love lollipops. And they go off telling you about lollipops. Or like my oldest son, they look at you like, duh, of course I like lollipops. What a stupid question. It doesn't matter. You've interacted with them. You've engaged with them about something they're interested in. Get to know their parents so that they can get to know you and have confidence with you being around their children. That's important for parents. Ask the parents how you can help them with caring for their kids. Or let the parents know skills that you can teach their kids or offer ways you can serve them. I've been so thankful and blessed for the people who come up and say, hey, we'd love to come watch your kids sometimes. Oh, Heather and I, so many times, like, I have memories of them coming, different student leaders coming over to our house to watch our kids. One, I'm so thankful for the opportunity for us to be able to go out and have a date, but also that our kids can get to know those student leaders. or a skill you may have, fixing cars or using a computer or whatever it might be. Over time, the Lord may give you opportunities like he did for Steve and Vivek and Grant and Dan with my kids to build into the life of a young person. And one of the best things you can do as you develop that relationship is share with them the stories of how Jesus has and is working in your own life. I've seen a great example of this in the life of Savita Shaw, the daughter of John and Heather Shaw. And Savita has kindly agreed to share with us this morning about that. So I would like you to please welcome up Savita to share a slice of her life. Thank you. Thank you for sharing your story with us, Savita. It was awesome. And thank God for, the men and women who reached out and poured into your life. You know, as our church continues to grow, we're going to have more and more kids, like my sons, like Savita, and they're going to get older and older, and then they're going to leave. I know if you just had little babies, it's hard to even imagine such a thing. But my sons are almost all gone, and it happens very quickly. And we have this amazing short window of opportunity to build into their lives, to help them to see and experience the gospel, to know, believe in, and follow Jesus Christ for themselves. Will we take it? Will we take seriously Jesus' call to make disciples of all the nations and start right here with our kids, all our kids, whether they are ours or not? Let me go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you showed us the example of this. You love all the people in the world. Even while we're still your enemies, you sent your Son Jesus to love us and to die for us, so that we could, instead of being enemies, be friends. Jesus, I was just thinking about this today, what it must have been like for you to be around your disciples. Physically, they were adults. But emotionally, spiritually, mature, they were like little kids, running around, immature. I'm sure at different times they irritated you, they frustrated you. But you saw them, you heard them, you loved them, you lived with them, you cared for them, you reached out to them and to us. Help us to do the same for the young people in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen.